Spoil your loved ones at Chemist Warehouse with Issey Miyake for women, 100ml for $69.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings this Mother's Day.
It is Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday. Welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you on board. Make sure you subscribe. You can get it much easier. Big show today too.
Yeah, Rob Thomas, the one and only. He's a little fella. Big voice though. Not that being a little fella means that you don't.
Now, listen, don't focus on what people's heights. That's not important.
No, 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 but I just, you know, when you see someone on your screen all the time and you and sort of see them doing the live thing, you don't realise, but he's probably a little taller than me.
You never heard that in the lyrics though, Robin?
No.
It's 3 a.m. I'm still a shorty.
Oh, that's shorty. Lonely.
Okay, that's not
lonely.
Enough,
no, I don't know.
You know.
I've misheard it.
Even I know.
It was a great chat too. You know, you meet a lot of rock stars and stuff and they are or sometimes assholes, but this guy is certainly not one.
What else did we talk about today? That Russian plane crash proving how important it is to fly business.
Until that moment, I didn't think about that. But use that as a reason from now on.
Where's the best place to survive a plane crash? I thought it was at the back.
Yeah, that's what my uncle always said. Yeah, they never back into a mountain.
Okay, but in this case, anyway.
I think not Aeroflot is the safest place to fly.
The royal baby has been born unto the world, and welcome. I'm bringing him frankincense. What are you getting?
A bit of myrrh.
You're getting some myrrh? Yeah.
Just wise words from me.
Just wise words from one of the wise men. What about you?
I got a Bintang singlet.
Oh, great. I enjoy that.
Imagine a onesie in Bintang.
Oh, my God.
That would be so funny. And I reckon Harry would put it on him too.
I bet you could get that somewhere, a Bintang onesie.
Oh, Harry would love that. That would be right up Harry's alley, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really.
You know, Bintang.
I mean, you know.
Or a Nazi uniform.
Oh, this is ridiculous for a Tuesday.
I forgot all that. Hey, ridiculous for a Tuesday.
Yeah, we're very, very jovial. We need to stop that.
What did they end up calling it? We haven't got a name yet, have we?
We haven't got it, no.
Did you see Arthur was featuring? Well, no, you went Prince Albert.
Well, that was favourite. And while the show was going, Arthur is now the favourite to be the name.
What, King of the Britons?
King of the Britons.
Arthur.
Yeah. Arthur.
Sorry.
Yeah, good one.
Listen, I can't stay around here too long. I've got to go to HR.
Oh, why?
Oh, yes.
Don't jump me in about new ideas.
Showing
Stop
me,
it, you big sook.
Showing me large chicks in their undies in the New Idea magazine. I'm bullying?
Well, yes. And you were showing pictures of Sephora, who was formerly Kate Fisher. Now, she has dropped 50 kilos. Mm.
The cheer of shame in before photos when she looked like
it wasn't. Okay. I was showing you the same thing. Oh, for love of God.
You showed me a woman 125 kilograms in her top.
Okay, stop talking. That's mean. Stop it.
No, what's mean is you showing him the photo.
No,
what's mean is them publishing the photo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, get out of this before we get into real trouble.
Hey, before you get a red card.
No,
for showing us more photos. Yeah.
Me.
You're on thin ice, Bailey.
And the other good news, of course, was one of the Turpin family has been picked for the Broncos this weekend.
That was a very tiny feature, and for you, that has made the intro, has it?
I love the Turpins. Nikki, you onto the Turpins? I didn't even ask you earlier.
Oh, no. The Turpin family are that family in the US who kept their children chained to chairs.
Yeah, of course. They
dressed them as 1 to 12 in, you know, thing
they,
1 and thing 2 outfits.
And thing
they
number took them nine. All to,
now they're all
took them to Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. In
for their
matching
Elvis
outfits.
Themed wedding,
and it was all a bit creepy.
I love their outfits.
They went to Disney World.
Yeah, they did with mouse ears.
Well, there's a Turpin. The big take home is one of that family's been rehabbed, and he will be playing for the Broncos this frost. So when do the Broncos play? Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Parents can't come to see him though. They got life.
No, they got life, but there'll be at least 12 others Turpins there watching him.
11 others.
Dobbo tried to tell me that they're real family. At Redcliffe. I find that hard to believe.
There are other people called Turpin.
No, I won't have it. I don't
Mother's
believe it.
Day this weekend, do you reckon that Mother Turpin is getting a good gift or
I doubt it.
Thanks for everything, Mum. Thanks for those stupid haircuts.
Enjoy the podcast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
We have a very special guest in the studio. He is going to be touring here later this year and got a brand new album out called Chiptooth Smile. I'm talking about the one and only Rob Thomas. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
I'm very impressed with your denim jacket, which you have with your own logo on it.
Well, I have two. Look.
Okay. Hang on. So we have a denim jacket and on one side is a chipped tooth smile. No. And what's on the back?
A 20. 20.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
I'm representing my boys when I'm not with them.
So, hold on. Did you run it? You didn't have any warm clothes. Did you buy that at a merchandise on your way out of something? Where?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah, I just got this at a Woolworths.
Who wears their own team T-shirt if you're not a football team?
You know what's funny is when I'm not in Matchbox 20, I feel like I can wear Matchbox and rep them, and it's kind of okay.
Righto.
You know? I was like in Matchbox at the time, I would be a douche. But right now, it seems like it's okay.
Do they care that you're not, like, you're doing your own thing?
We had some growing pains with
it. So that says yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're the closest we've ever been, but there was a moment where we had to figure out what this new landscape was, but the landscape started to happen because when I started the band, I was the only writer. We started because I wrote a bunch of songs and we needed to be a band. Then after like three records, the guys started to write and they started to write well. And so Matchbox became a place where we were all writing, and if we wanted to be that when we got there, I needed it because I write all the time. I needed a place to put my stuff that I write I could unpack it.
Did they realize that you get paid more money if you've written the song? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think they know. They're pretty aware of that.
I bet.
Yeah.
Is it a democracy when it comes to choosing a song, or is it basically, you know?
No, it's a democracy. That's the thing about, like, everybody asks, like, what's the difference between a Matchbox song and solo song? The only difference is when I bring a bunch of songs in, the ones they like are Matchbox songs. You know,
yeah.
Like I always joke, and it's not really a joke. Matchbox 20 is Paul's band, our guitar player who used to be our drummer for 12 years. Then he became our guitar player when we fired Adam.
That bit, right?
Yeah. So it's his band. I mean, he runs the band. He kind of controls everything. So, and it makes it way easier. So when I come back to that world, I'm just like, I just put the keys, you know, on the dashboard and give it to him. And I get to just ride.
Hey, we're all products of our upbringing. Robin, we were talking about this before you came in. Now, did you grow up with your grandparents who ran a little store?
I did.
Is that a true story?
Yeah. And in the South, I guess, you imagine, wherever you have the most Bogans here, that's where I grew up. Like, you know, it's like it's very rednecky.
You've been to Townsville, though?
Very rednecky.
Yeah.
Dude, Townsville was beautiful. Yeah. The place was amazing.
Yeah, did you talk to the locals?
The
yeah, they were awesome.
Right.
Maybe I can relate.
Yeah. You are Townsville.
It was a general store kind of thing. It was like a little tobacco town. Everybody was tobacco farmers. And it was a store with a house attached to it. Like, we lived in the store.
I love that.
It was the central meeting place for everybody, all the farmers and everything in South Carolina.
Oh.
And so, and my grandmother found out that she could make a little extra money if she sold weed. So I was like, I was like 10 years old. Breaking up, and you knew the weed wasn't good because I had to break up the stems and the seeds. So
you did that,
yeah. Oh,
that's a 10-year-old. Well,
The store couldn't sell cigarettes. Everyone was tobacco farmers.
Yeah, right.
That's something else.
Right. No, you know what's a funny thing too is it was no wonder that I smoked, because it was the entire industry of everything in the town was run by tobacco.
Wow.
So we literally would have every year a thing called the Tobacco Festival, and it would be a parade that would run through town, and they would throw cigarettes out, and I'm like a little kid just grabbing like. I was screwed from Jump Street. There was no way I was gonna there's no way I was gonna get out of that.
What's happened to that town now without tobacco?
Everybody has lung cancer.
Yes. Oh well.
But Robbie, is that partly why you? Is that partly why you've gone on to write for Willie Nelson?
Oh, being Southern is definitely. I mean, first off, like, you wouldn't write for Willie Nelson. You're from Australia. I grew up in the South for a long time. I didn't know there was anybody but Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Conway Twitty and Johnny Cash. Like,
oh, wow.
It was all country. But these were these guys. These were these hard-living guys, right? They would fight, and they would drink, and they had these storied lives, and then they would write these really beautiful little songs about them. And I thought the stories they were telling were amazing. And so I think that's what got me into wanting to write songs.
But also smoking weed with Willie would possibly be...
Yeah, that helps you write songs too. Yeah, it's funny. It's so funny. So Willie's had he's just turned 86 the other day, right? He's literally an icon. He's written so many beautiful songs. Yeah. And no matter where I go, I could be here, I could be China. And they're like, did you smoke weed on the bus?
That's what they wanted.
And I did. And I did.
Yeah, great.
I did.
What about writing for Mick Jagger?
I wrote with Mick. We wrote one song. There was a song on Matchbox 20 called Disease that I wrote with Mick.
Yeah.
And then he had a song on his solo record, Got Us in the Doorway, called Visions of Paradise, that we wrote together as well.
Cool guy.
Oh, amazing. You know what's funny? So years after, I was in Scotland, and they were playing the Stones in like a tiny club. It was like a rare appearance, right? And I found out about it, and we got a hold of their tour manager. And Mick had, like, me and my wife and a few of the guys in the band gave us, you know, like, says, come on down. We got there, and we got there a little bit late. And when we did, the show hadn't started yet because Mick was holding it and waiting.
Until you got there?
Until we got there, and we came in.
Wow.
And then even when we got there, he brought us in backstage to sit us down like a gentleman. He's like, very calmly, like, would you like some tea? Would you? And like, well, no, we should probably, you know, he's like, oh, they'll wait. It's fine. They'll be good.
The Rolling Stones.
So,
How much would Rolling Stones fans be shocked? They're like, all right, the show started late. They must be up to no good out the back. And it's just Mick and Rob having tea.
Well, you know, I mean,
it's rock and roll.
It's just a different time. Like, it's a different time than when I used to come here in the 90s. I would literally just, my friend Tony, who's been working with me since like day one with Matchbox, was reminding me of things that I don't remember from that little period of my career, you know? Yeah. He's like, oh, you know, Rob, because I was like, I never do this. He's like, ah, Rob, you used to do it all the time. I remember, and he was reminding me of like me and Paul being at one point where we were just so hungover that we couldn't get out of bed. And so like the radio station came to our room and we just laid in bed in our robes and they were like doing the interview in our room.
Oh, right.
Was that in Brisbane?
Like, oh, I was a little bit of a twat. I didn't realize. My bad.
Yep.
Hey, can I ask the name of the new album, Chiptooth Smile. Now, Chiptooth for us, it means you've got a broken tooth.
Yep.
And if you live with that, you're quite a distinctive character. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, I have a chip that I got when I was like 17.
What'd you
do?
I
was slam dancing in a club and some guy elbowed me. But when I met my wife, it was more pronounced. But, you know, over time, it kind of wears down.
Yeah.
My wife wouldn't let me change it because she thought it was part of my personality. Like, she liked it. And it's always been a joke, like for years and years and years, where she's like, oh, you and your chip tooth smile, you know? Aww. And so there was a lot on this record that was kind of autobiographical, and I was kind of digging into some stuff, and I thought it was a proper title for that.
Do you play your stuff to your wife before you send it out into the big world?
Yeah, she's the first person to hear everything.
Is she honest with you? Does she go, that's really...
Brutally. Right. But I need that. You know what I mean? She has an amazing ear. I've never had a single... Anytime we put out a single that didn't work, she knew it wasn't going to work. And anytime we didn't know where to go, she picked the right one and we put it out. She's been the best A&R person ever. She's the only person to tell me that Smooth, when I wrote it, was going to be a hit.
Like, with Santana?
Correct. Yeah.
Really?
She has an amazing ear. She works with my management. She has a master's in marketing. So she kind of runs things behind the scenes for my career. After 20 years, it's like this experience that when I'm working is a shared one between her and I.
Was she a fan when you met, or did she know who you were?
No,
was it one of those?
When I met her, I was more famous than she thought that I was, but less famous than I thought that I was.
Oh, yeah. That mystical world.
Because we were like, to her, we were a band, like we literally just had one song out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We thought we were huge because we had a song out. We were on MTV. We were a big deal. We had people coming to see us play. And she was just like, and you are, I've never met you before. And her friend drug her from New York over to Montreal to come see me because her friend liked the song. She had no idea. And her friend like made her come backstage after. And I met her and I was just like, blah. And then that was it. And 20 years later, I'm still kind of blah.
Oh, that 20 years of marriage. That's pretty cool. Carlos Santana, it would be very remiss if I didn't ask you about him. I mean, I'm reading here that it's Billboard chart's second best song of all time.
I think it's second biggest, not best. Those are two distinct things.
What was the biggest then? The Beatles or?
I know. I mean, the biggest was The Twist by Chubby Checker.
Oh. The Twist?
Yeah.
And Smooth was second?
Yeah, but here, to put perspective on this, because I don't want anybody to think that I've got a big head about this.
Nice.
Number six was Hey Jude. I mean... Number four was that LMFAO song. I mean,
These are like, punishes it.
It's a numbers game over here. You know what I mean? It's not the best song I've ever written or the best song Carlos has ever done. It just was like standing on a street corner at the exact right time when somebody's throwing out money. You know what I mean? It was just a luck thing. But the best thing that came out of it was me and Carlos. You know, like literally when I landed here in Brisbane yesterday, I pull out my phone and Carlos texts me, and I think he's just finishing up his tour, and I get a text and it's just a review of his concert, and I'm
a
like
self-review.
And I write him back and I was like, so was this a mistake? I was like, why are you sending this? Like, are you just bragging? And he goes, we is, with a bunch of fire emojis. He's like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that was what was so amazing about Smooth, because, I mean, Santana is Santana, but he wasn't in the zeitgeist, you know, in the early noughties. He was Woodstock and then he was Santana. It really brought him back into it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big moment for both of us. Like, we had just sold like 15 million records with Matchbox 20 and thought that we were a big deal. And then right. I got to see what it was like to be with a legend. Mm. And then I realized in that moment that two things. One, that I thought that we had gotten somewhere, but really that success at that time just bought us the ticket so that we could take the ride and really have a chance to become a real band and become a good band. And that there was two distinct things in life that I could go down at that time. There's a difference between being a successful musician and being a celebrity. And being with Carlos made me realize that what I want to do is make music. I want to write music. I want people to know why they know me. And he kind of taught me that. And still, literally to this day, when my record came out, he sends me just like a slew of texts just about my intention, my motive, my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm supposed to do. There's a greater good. There's a, you know, like, it. He's been an amazing mentor and friend, like, literally since we did this song together. So it's a good thing to know that, like, all that stuff that happened, that it's real, and it was real, you know what I mean? And it grew from there, and we've become that. And since then, I've written songs, because we didn't want to try to do Smooth again, but I wrote songs on his records for Mary J. Blige, for Seal, for Music Soul Child. And so we've been able to work together without having anyone even know about it, really.
Oh. Now, before we finish, in this studio, the number one supporter of you is Brendo, our anchor. Because, explain why, Brendo. What was happening when you were a small child?
When I was six, yourself or someone like you came out. And we'd always drive down the coast, and it was always in our six-stacker CD player. So I only grew up listening to, like, a few albums. Yours, Permanent Shade of Blue by Roachfoot, Midnight Oil, Blue Sky Mining.
It's good company.
It's not bad. Yeah,
you know Chisholm, Midnight Oil?
Yeah. The Best of the Eagles.
Yeah. Okay, no, good.
But yourself or someone like you.
The band with The Politician. Yeah.
And it went diamond over in the States, like, what, 12 times platinum? And it was enormous out here. And you've been enormous out here for 20 years, so...
That is very cool. I think, you know, sometimes the best part of the job is to realize that you exist in somebody's life when you're not in the room. You know, like, you come in and you play shows and people are there, but it's kind of nice to realize that you're a part of somebody's Saturday night and their Sunday morning. Mm. You know what I mean? And you're a part of their life, and you're a part of loss and love and things that happen in their life, and your background music for that kind of thing.
It means something.
It really does, and it's a gift that you realize that you get. And you know how, like, when you take a picture, it doesn't really mean a lot, and then 20 years later, you see that picture, and it means everything. Like, fans have given me the opportunity to have that feeling with my song, so that 20 years later, it really starts to mean more than ever.
Now, Brendo, I've been karaoke with him. He's got a wonderful voice. Hit it. Can you hit it and just judge how he goes?
No. No, you can't do that.
Yes, we can.
No.
Yes, we can.
To be fair, you guys heard about my night last night. If we had a sing-off, you could win right now.
Okay, what do you want to do? You want to do the chorus of Smooth?
Yeah, go. You ready?
Oh,
ready?
Come on, Brendo.
Go.
And it's just like the ocean. No, you meant to go. Under the moon, it's the same as the emotion that I get from you.
Now I'm enjoying this so much right now.
Got a loving that can be so smooth.
You know what? I feel bad for everybody that's listening right now because they don't see the visual. Yeah. The visual is really what's happening right now.
Or if they thought you were singing, they go, gee, Rob Thomas got shit. Yeah.
That was a big night in town, though.
That was not me.
No, he's much better.
If people want to see you, Rob, you are going to be back in November doing A Day on the Green at Sierra May Winery.
Yes. Yes. I think the whole thing starts on...
November 7th, eh?
November 8th in Canberra.
Ah, right.
And then it's from there on for the rest of the month. I'll be running through everywhere.
Beautiful. It is so much fun.
Chiptooth Smile is the new album. You get it via iTunes. Ticketmaster for those Day on the Green tickets. I Love It is the new single. We've been spinning it at heaps, and that's how I feel about the single as well. It's crazy.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate
really
that.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you. You too.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
8 days ago, our campaign kicked off to get Cam Smith to play Origin football, and it's been bubbling along nicely. We've had Gordon Tallis support it. We've had Craig Bellamy say that the club would not oppose it if Cam wanted to play Origin. Kevin Walters won't say too much, but that's how he plays it.
Yeah, likes to keep it close to his chest.
Cam Smith on Sunday night with Matty John said never say never. In other words, it's cooking along. We don't have a captain. We don't have a goal kicker, and we don't have a hooker. Mm-hmm. All three are what Cameron Smith is good at. 26 times he's won a State of Origin game. No other human has come anywhere near that. He's played 41 State of Origins. We need him. It's as simple as that. Queensland got dished up last year. Could happen again if we don't have Cam Smith. Just one game we want out of him. And can I refer to, we said we'd have a legend here. We've got a legend of rugby league, and also he played 67 tests for the Wallabies. Joining us now, Lottie Takiri. Hello, mate.
Hey guys, how are you?
All right.
Yeah, good.
So on the surface, have you seen this moment, the campaign to get Cameron Smith to play Origin in the first game?
I thought I was on for the Royal Baby Expert.
Well, Prince
I have on the surface, mate. I'd love to see Cam back. We definitely need him.
Right,
definitely need him like we did Alf in 2001 when I played, mate.
I'm ringing you, Lottie. That's why I'm ringing you. Do you remember that 2001 series? Well, you go through it. We won the first one, lost
the
second
one. We won the first
one.
There was a whole heap of debutants, which Kev might have to do, given the state we're in at the moment. We won in a canter at the old Lane Park. And then second game, we got dished up in Sydney by Freddie and Joey Johns.
Yep.
And we just probably needed something, just a shot in the arm. No one really knew what was going on. I remember coming in a camp for the third one, and
Now, hold on.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, let's talk about after that second game. So we got done, and we were a bunch of young guys, and you're headless chooks when you're losing like that. Did anyone Yeah, that's right. Did anyone say we need some leadership?
Yes and no, but because we did have a fair few leaders in there, we had young leaders like Lockie, Wendell Saylor was at his prime, Gordy was still in there. But we just needed something different. And Wayne sort of talked about it, but I was in that younger crew who didn't really know or didn't really make decisions. So I think he had a chat with a few of the older blokes, and Gordy will probably tell you the story. But and we didn't really have a clue. And then next thing you know, we go in a camp, get the buses, picked us up, and we started off over at the Gabba. And there were murmurings about something happening. I didn't really know what was going on. And then, here comes Alf strolling out towards the bus, and everybody's erupted. And how good is this? We didn't know whether he was coming as a player or as just a bit of a motivational speaker, because he was over in England. We got told he was playing, and it really, really, really made that week go as smoothly as it did. He just took off the pressure off.
Gave you new confidence.
Lottie, how old was he? How old was Alf then?
I was in his 30s, definitely. I think maybe 33 or 34, something like that.
Okay, so can age.
All right, just remind everyone, Lottie, what happened that night. There was a magnificent try he scored, but on the field, you'll have to remind me the score, but we won by about 36-10 or something, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was at ANZ Stadium. From go to away, we pretty much dominated that game. It felt a bit like the first game, and I guess Wayne wanted to sort of bring that back and that feeling back. I remember it was, to be honest, it's a bit of a blur because it just went so good. It just went so good. Alf scored a try late. He ducked under one of the tacklers. And we were playing mugs. They were a great New South Wales team. there were 60,000 out there playing for blue blood, and Alf was the chief instigator of, I think he set up about two or three tries. He put Lockie over early.
And that was it. We just needed him for that one game. Did he retire at the end of that game again? Did he go, that'll do me, I've done my job?
Went back to England, yeah, pretty much straight. The next day went back to England, and he retired at the end of that year. So
that's what we want from Cam Smith.
I don't know if he's ever retired. He's still running the ship behind the lines anyway, but it was something that we needed at the time, and I reckon Kev should pull this Cam Smith card out. What do you guys reckon?
Oh, definitely. Mate. We're trying. Lottie, can you please go onto our Facebook page and sign? Because when people see your name there, they'll take it really seriously.
Yeah, okay. We'll do.
Done. Thank you. Lottie Dakiri, thanks for your time.
He's seen what this sort of comeback can do to a team.
Yeah, Lottie's signing it. Why aren't you? Go to our Facebook page, Triple M Brisbane, sign it today, and hopefully Cam Smith will come back and play for the Maroons. It's the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
So I'm not one of those royal watchers that has been hanging on every day hoping to hear that Meghan Markle had gone into labour and that there would be a new royal. But I will say that with all the bad news that's been going on, it is lovely to discuss the birth of a royal baby because...
How did they, how sometimes when the baby's late, which it obviously was.
It was.
curry, go for a walk? What do you have?
Yeah,
you heard
stairs
what they
are
did?
Often good.
What,
get them moving.
What technique did they use?
Well, so here's the thing. Unlike William, whose wife Kate had the baby in the Ling Wing, in the same place that Harry and William were born, Meghan decided to not do that, and she wanted a home birth, which was actually quite common in the UK. It's very uncommon here. But so it wasn't like as soon as she went into labour, got in a car, everyone was put on standby that the baby was coming.
Right.
So it was very controlled, and I think that was really smart of them.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, to do that. But it did mean
that she didn't come out straight afterwards like Princess Kate. Is that her name?
No, yeah, that's right.
Duchess, whatever
those
names are.
Yeah.
She came out all like 12 seconds after giving birth, ready to go.
No, she didn't. And it was interestingly though, Prince Harry did, unprecedented again. He did his own little press conference, spoke to the press, and this is how it went down.
I'm very excited to announce that Meghan and myself had a baby boy early this morning. The most amazing experience I could ever possibly imagine. How any woman does what they do is beyond comprehension, but we're both absolutely thrilled.
Oh. How cute is that? Mm. Can't you just see this beaming Rango absolutely loving the world?
Wonder where which end he was at. That's often the question, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing, because he was asked about that whole thing about being at a birth, he said this.
I haven't been at many births. this is definitely my first birth. It was amazing, absolutely incredible. And as I said, I'm so incredibly proud of my wife. And as every father and parent would ever say, you know, your baby is absolutely amazing, but this little thing is absolutely to die for. So I'm just over the moon.
Yeah, she made a mess on a $7 million rug, but besides that, it all
she
went
might have
smooth.
Had it in a bathtub. You never know. She could have done a water birth.
Oh, wow.
But it just begs.
Have we got a name?
No, not yet. And he did say
what are we
that,
waiting for?
Well, they're deciding. Brayden. But Brayden.
Do you reckon
Brayden
he goes a bargain
Windsor.
Name?
Why
actually,
wouldn't
what
you?
Would you do?
Why wouldn't
come
you?
On.
Prince Jaden? Yeah.
Jaden, Brayden. No, they'll go a royal name like a James Darryl. Or a...
The favourite at the moment, Jamie. 3-1 favourite, is Prince Albert.
Oh, don't do it, that's, people.
Are you serious or taking
a no, I'm quite serious. The favourite is Prince Albert.
They do know, don't they?
I would hope
like,
so.
Like, it started within the royal family. It was Queen Victoria's husband who did it. Like, they do realise it.
Did what?
Okay, had a piercing.
Piercing
in,
where?
In a very precarious position that enabled his boyness to stay and to sit on one side thanks to the piercing.
Yes.
That,
well navigated.
Yeah. Wow, Robin, that took a lot. You okay with that? Just Google it, everyone.
No, don't.
Not images.
No, don't Google it.
Not images.
Safe search off.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M.
Oh, yeah.
Bogan's got on. News.
We're off down to Beenleigh this morning, where I reckon a man has been lighting the glass barbie. Owner of pet store The Pet Place, Justin Westaway, said the man entered his store just before midday on Friday. Now, this is what Justin had to say about the bloke that's entered his store. He came in and we all thought he looked a bit sus. Now, I reckon that's a big call for a pet store. You've got cat ladies and you've got men.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got men that buy snakes for their home.
Or buy rats for their snakes to eat.
Yeah, oh, and this bloke stands out.
What would
he's high level sus.
What is high level sus? Is it just chewing his lips?
I reckon anyone that stands out in a pet store, high level sus. The bloke has, the owner of the store, Justin, has stepped away for 2 seconds and he hears the birdcage close.
What birdcage?
When he then asked the man to empty his pockets, the thief threw a budgie at him.
Wow.
So he's put a budgerigar in his pocket.
He's stolen a budgerigar, put it in his pocket.
Why would you do that? A budgie's like $2.
Yeah, I know.
Are they?
Yes. Oh.
Now, this is what I think. So he's thrown the budgie at him, right? Now, which, great. Thief, right, or Aussie magician? That's what we've got to ask. That's, forget doves. We've got budgies down here, right? He then said he left the store. The bloke has left the store with studded dog collars in his pockets. He's knocked off. He's used it as like misdirection. He's put the collars in, then he's grabbed a bird. Hey-ya, right? And if you think, well, he's put it away. He's caught the budgie. He's put it away. No, Mr. Westaway said the budgie was not harmed and they recaptured the bird after 4 hours.
Oh.
4 hours?
Budgie's going,
Imagine shutting down your shop to chase a $3 item around for half a business day. That's not a great idea. Now, unsurprisingly, it is not the first time a pet shop in Logan has been robbed. In February, a man was charged after he stole a rat from a Logan pet store. Now, I know dogs end up looking like their owners, but I think rat owners share a similar haircut and tail situation. That's all for Bogan News today.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
The Big Breakfast.
Anything is possible.
With Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
It's their 30th anniversary year for Hog's Breath Cafe, but they've just lost another one.
Oh.
This time, Coolangatta. No more Hog's Breath Cafe.
No more curly fries.
No more curly fries.
Now, hold on. You say that with a great deal of admiration. Have you ever eaten any? Like,
yes,
would you stop and eat any?
Okay, look, can I just say that when my kids, particularly when they were little, Sizzler and Hog's Breath were the party destination of choice.
Sizzler, I'll say, but Hog's Breath I never warmed to.
Oh, no. Well, once Sizzler closed at Toowong after the notorious 11th birthday party of my eldest son where three children threw up.
No. Marta, you're not a fan of the Boss Hog mushrooms, TM?
I gave it one go, Nick, and I just, I think somebody gave me onion, and I'd never had onion rings or something, rather they did, and I thought, that's disgusting.
Oh, I loved Hog's Breath.
No. You're not a fan of onion rings?
No.
It's a new concept for Marta.
No, I like my onion to be barbecued and thrown. I thought they were just weird, deep-fried onion. There's no need.
A lot of people have.
There's no need for the name Hog's Breath either. I think that's one of their, well, they're still going, aren't they?
I don't know.
You said to me, what about Indooroopilly? And I just looked that up. It's permanently closed.
Indooroopilly. That's so sad above the hardware.
There's still a Carindale, Aspley, Garden City, North Lakes, Cleveland. See, they're still around Springfield, Logan, Redcliffe and Vicky Point. So they're still going.
Do you think it's the end? Like, are we closing out on an era of family chain restaurants? You know, your Sizzlers and your Hogsbury
Are there any
cafes?
Sizzlers left? I think there's one.
There's one at Logan.
Yeah. Is there still one at Ipswich? I think there is.
There is. And where's the other one? Caboolture.
Okay. I still love the cheesy toast is my fave. If you've got it, look, seriously.
That's how they trick you, Robert. Come on.
Why?
You fill up on the cheesy bread and then you're not going to eat the rest of the all-you-can-eat stuff.
Right.
That's a rookie error.
And some
pure
kids,
meat. That's
and
what
some
you go
kids
for.
Used to get their ice cream with their first dish as well and they'd get stuck into that.
Silly.
And they're
vomiters. We had the three vomiters Finn's 11th birthday.
Early on the ice cream. Because they go, what is that?
Will they make a comeback one day for the newer generation? It's like, God, can we just go to Sizzlers and get the avocado toast?
Hey, God, I hate people who push in, all right? Mm-hmm. Push into queues, whatever. I have a classic story. One of our mates has got parents, okay? The father's 83. I think the mum's about 81, 82. Went on a cruise.
Right.
Out of Brisbane.
Now, one of the great P&Os up to the islands.
I didn't ask. No, it was 2 weeks. Actually, it was one of those. No, I think they're heading all the way, like going to Hawaii, then flying home.
Wow.
Like a cruise out.
That's not
the important bit here.
Okay, sorry.
The important bit is, and I've known him for a while, he used to be in you describe it as the automotive game, okay, this bloke. Okay. Very, and I've always known him to be always in a hurry, but when you get to 83, I thought he might have slowed down a bit. Mm-hmm. All right? So... Mm-hmm. They've gotten there, and if anyone's seen what goes on down at Portside where they load onto the ships, there are people everywhere. He doesn't like queuing. So what he did, and it wasn't with his wife didn't want to do this, but she's lived with him for quite some time, so she doesn't like, she doesn't care about
battles
queuing.
Battles and wars, people.
She knows what her husband hates, okay? He has gone to the front of the queue and seen the lady. My wife's quite ill. She can't walk. Do you mind if could you get us a wheelchair? There was absolutely nothing wrong with her. The wife was so happy to be going on a holiday, on a cruise, etc. So he's put her in a wheelchair. And because she didn't like lying about the whole thing, she started sweating and getting really nervous. Because when they get you in the wheelchair, you're at the front of the queue and they went on the ship first.
Oh, wow.
But then they saw how much she was sweating and they said, are you going to be okay? And because she was sweating because
she was nervous, she was living a lie.
There was nothing wrong with her. Her husband had forced her into this wheelchair to get onto the boat first. All right, so then they get on, they're on board.
Right.
They jump past everyone, the immigration and everything else that you've got to go through to get on board these ships. Got on first, got into the cabin. Of course, they don't need the wheelchair anymore, so just left it outside the cabin, apparently, in the hallway.
Right.
Room service when you finish. And it's done with this wheelchair.
Yes. There's been
a water-based miracle.
The problem is, though, the whole crew, like anyone who saw her, and there were about three people who noticed her going on, they then, for the rest of the cruise, tried to go, well, how did it happen? How did the miracle occur? It's just, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't do anything. Have you ever pushed in? I just thought it was one of the greatest push-in. You get a wheelchair, you will go, but you'll probably go to hell as well for being such an awful person. Just want to know, how do you push in? How did you push in, or do you push in on regular?
It has to be creative, though.
You are a fan?
I'll tell you my favourite way to push in if you're flying overseas, and that is when you check in, you always go to the business class line. Even if you're not flying business class, you're flying economy, you go to the business class line and say, I bid for an upgrade online. I'm just wondering, did it come through? And they'll check and go, oh, unfortunately not. So sorry.
And while you're there.
And you go, oh, that's a shame. God, I thought we'd had it. And they go, it's all right. You can check in here. And you just skip the massive.
That is wonderful.
Queue.
That's a good one.
I can't bear face lie like that, Nick Cody. Yeah.
No wheelchair needed.
No, he was in a wheelchair.
Was in a wheelchair.
That did help.
Okay. Join it.
Let's
I've
do it.
I've got the full Stephen Hawking machine and everything.
No, he's not using it.
I make it.
When and how have you pushed in a queue? I do wonder whether emergency services ever do that because they want to get home. Mm.
For sure.
Are you kidding? I swear that I see some ambulances that are just on their way to lunch.
And I don't mind that. Can I tell you, I think you do an amazing job and you don't get paid enough. So if you want to use your siren to push him, you go right ahead.
If you want to get the subway a few minutes earlier, that's cool. I'm with you, Robin. People are about to learn stuff here. How did you jump the queue?
Okay, Megan of Fernie Grove, what happened?
So I was in Disney World with my family a couple of years ago with my elderly grandparents, who are perfectly able with their bodies. Mm. And we were waiting for this like ride we wanted to go on for a week, and it was a two-hour wait.
So my mum
marched herself to the front of the queue and lied and said my grandpa couldn't walk and couldn't stand for that long. So we did the same thing. They put him in a wheelchair, and they wheeled him past everyone. Right. That was like a two-hour wait, and they looked so angry. And my grandpa is there just giggling because he knows it's a lie.
A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. Like, seriously, Disneyland 2.5 hours? I don't think so.
Grandparents have got to come in handy for something. That's perfect. Thanks, mate.
James of West Chermside, what happened? When did you push in?
So it was a concert we went to at the Entertainment Centre, and there's all the cars in the left lane, about 10 k's long.
Yeah.
So I just jumped in the right lane and head down on the roundabout, do a full circle, and you get straight in.
Hang on. Jumped on the roundabout.
Wrong side of the road? Are we talking wrong side of the road?
No. Two lanes going in.
What?
Everyone's lined up on the left lane to turn left at the roundabout. But if you jump in the right lane, you can go all the way through.
And then
circle.
You just spit out. Out in the front.
So doesn't that take you to the VIP area and then they stop you and say, where's your pass?
No. Just straight in the main gate.
Can you hear that I've tried that?
Mm. I hate the swamp. Anything you can do to have a win at the swamp is a good idea.
Dave of Ipswich, how did you push in?
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, good.
Me and the missus were out for drinks on the weekend, and the lineup to the bar was absolutely huge.
Oh, I
so I thought ahead, and I just went up to the side where someone was cleaning a couple of glasses, and I just made out that one of the glassies ended up taking our drinks before they were finished, and the manager came out and scored a couple of free drinks.
Oh my God, I love that.
Love it.
Keep that one in your back pocket. That's a beauty.
Yeah, no dramas.
Yeah, good on you, Dave.
It's going to be rewarded twice for the same thing.
Yeah, pushed in and free drinks. It's wonderful stuff. NRL Magic Round coming to Brisbane. This week, Suncorp Stadium. Tickets at NRL.com. You have won.
Nice.
Watch out for him, though, because I reckon he'll call in and go, the tickets didn't arrive. Can you send us another couple?
Hey, can we celebrate what happened yesterday? Labor Day. The reason we had the holiday was to celebrate the rights of workers over the last 128 years. There was a big march went on in the middle of the city, if you missed it, if you just had a sleep in and messed around at home, like most people, but a lot of people were marching and yelling. And the thing is, when you're protesting and you want to make your point, you've got to be clear. And most of them were yesterday with their yelling out.
Okay. Union what?
Union power.
Oh.
Pay attention.
Sorry, I'm trying.
All right, we'll try you again. Yeah, do you understand what they mean here?
Change the government,
okay. Change the rules, and what else?
We're the union! United Workers Union!
We're the union what?
The Mighty Workers Union.
Okay, sorry, I'm just catching you up.
It's getting too close to football chants.
All right. Try
Come
one
on, give
more.
Me one more.
Yeah, one more. Yeah.
What do we do when we're under attack?
Okay, what do we do when we're under killed? Attack?
We do something and fight back, okay? Yeah, he's...
Join the union.
What do we do when we're under attack?
Did he have like a twisted nut or something? Should have been in the...
Can we? When you get a megaphone, you don't have to yell into it.
No, it
projects your voice. All right. If you were struggling with those, can you possibly tell me what they were yelling out here?
Everybody needs...
Stop chicken cowl!
Everybody needs...
I was right with that bit. Try it again.
Everybody needs...
Stop chicken cowl!
There's a chicken in there somewhere.
Yeah, bacon. I heard bacon chicken
roll or chicken power.
Bacon chicken. I think chicken sweet and sour. Is that what it was?
Or was it chicken power? Are we stopping coal? We're just going to burn chickens to supply the...
Everybody needs...
Stop chicken cowl!
I hear chicken power.
Chicken power.
What happened to
more chicken power.
Power to the chickens.
Power to the chickens. Because they haven't been defeated. Oh, that was there somewhere.
Chicken power. Chicken. It's taken over. It's
go big, the chickens.
Big breakfast. Triple E.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.